Hello and welcome to the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And this is our baseball show, The Cutoff Man. We are The Cutoff Man to you, giving you the news directly from the sport to the fans. Yes, we are The Cutoff Man, and we are covering the week of September 21st, coming up to Sunday. And we got a big slate of baseball this week, the last week of baseball to finish off the regular season. Coming into this week, we had some very competitive matchups and a lot of races to see who's going to make it to the playoffs. And there were some really close ones and a tiebreaker, actually. And we're going to get right down to it. But with a week left in the NL, even leading into the last series of the season, the 5-8 seed were still undecided in the NL. We had six teams that were either one game above 500, at 500 exactly, or one game below 500. So two of those teams would not move on to the playoffs. But in case you need a refresher, the teams in the mix for those spots were the Cardinals at the 5 seed, the Marlins, then the Reds, then the Giants, and the Phillies and the Brewers just trailing one game behind the 8th seed Giants. So we got a good mix of brewing for today. So let's get straight into the main course of games, because we've set the table. So let's get into that main course for our early week matchups. Let's go to the Chicago White Sox as they travel to Cleveland to take on the Indians in a 4-game set. The Indians decide to wake up from their long slumber and take the White Sox for a wild ride. The White Sox come out swinging in the series with Eloy Jimenez homer in game one, and the Indians come on top in game one with some homer help from Carlos Santana, Jose Ramirez, and that's pretty good. Game two starts off with the Indians homering with Cesar Hernandez, and Jose Abreu returns the favor with a home run of its own to tie the game. The game goes back and forth and back and forth until the 10th inning, when Jose Ramirez walks it off with a 3-run homer for the Indians to end that game. Game three is a showcase of pitching expertise when Cy Young favorite Shane Bieber of the Indians and Lucas Giolito of the White Sox, he had a no-hitter earlier this year, and Bieber goes 5 innings allowing 2 hits, 0 runs, 0 earned runs with 1 run and 10 strikeouts in 5 innings, and Giolito goes 6 innings while allowing 4 hits, 2 earned runs, and strikes out 11 batters. And the Indians come on top in this game, taking an early lead with a Carlos Santana homer, and walk it off in the 9th thanks to a Jordan Luplow homer. In game 4, Yoimer Sanchez homers for the White Sox, but the Indians just don't stop and edge over the White Sox 5-4, securing the win. And this gives the Indians the sweep, and puts them back in the race for the top spot in the Central. And going into the weekend, they are only 2 games back of the Twins, who are first in the division. But don't worry, White Sox fans, you are still just one game back of the Twins, and well within striking distance. So that is a really fun race to watch at the end of the week to see who gets the Central. In our next series, the New York Yankees take on the Blue Jays in a 4-game set. And there were a good amount of runs scored in this series. The Blue Jays in game one, they get in there and get some assistance from Randall Grichuk, who homers, while the Blue Jays win this one 11-5. In game two, Gerrit Cole dominates, allowing only 1 earned run, which was a Kevin Biggio homer for the Blue Jays. For the rest of his outing, Cole goes 7 innings, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts. And after game two, the Blue Jays offense just takes off for 2 more wins. And game three, the Blue Jays score 14 runs and score 8 runs in the 6th inning. And Danny Jensen hits 2 homers in this game for the Blue Jays. You see, the Blue Jays had a lot of fun winning that last week, so they decided, you know, we like winning, let's get us some more winning. So they won the next game 4-1 as well. Also, they show some excellence in every aspect of their team in this game. Hyunjin Ryu, 7 innings pitched, allowing 5 hits, no runs, with 4 strikeouts. And he hands off to the bullpen that keeps the Yankees at bay, only allowing 1 run. On the fielding side, Randall Grichuk makes an amazing catch in the outfield at the wall. Looked like could have been a homer. Robbed Gary Sanchez of a homer. Or at least a double if it wasn't a homer. So that's pretty good. And on the offensive side in this game, Vlad Guerrero Jr. homers to lead the offense of the Blue Jays on a stellar performance, and this results in them winning the series and clinching the 8th seed in the playoffs. And the Brewers face off against the Reds in a 3-game set, and this will be a very important series in the playoff race. Game 1 of this series showcases a fun match between Luis Castillo of the Reds, who's been on a roll lately and has been dominant in his last few starts with an ERA of 2.86, and goes toe-to-toe with Brandon Woodruff, who has himself a good little season as well with an ERA of 3.43. Castillo goes 4 2/3 innings pitched, allowing 1 earned run, 4 hits, and had 9 strikeouts, which nabs him the win. Woodruff goes 5 2/3 innings pitched, allows 4 hits, 2 earned runs, and 9 strikeouts. Jed Jerko and Jace Peterson homer for the Brewers, and Mike Moustakas, Kurt Casale, and Eugenio Suarez homer for the Reds and take the win. Game 2 goes to the Brewers, who take it 3-2 with some help from Brett Anderson, who strikes out 7 batters. It goes 6 innings, allowing 4 hits, 2 runs, and 1 earned run. He competes with Sonny Gray, who goes 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts for the Reds. Also, Nick Castellanos homers for the Reds, and Tyrone Taylor homers for the Brewers. In the rubber match, the Reds let Trevor Bauer loose on the Brewers, and he goes 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, and strikes out 12 batters. Eugenio Suarez homers in this game as well, because he can't stop him, and Joey Votto and Jesse Winker add to the mix, adding a little bit of their own home runs as the Reds take the series. The Dodgers have a 3-game set against the Oakland A's, and the Dodgers take game 1. Robbie Grossman homers for the A's, but the Dodgers put on a show while Max Muncy homers, Chris Taylor homers, AJ Pollock, Corey Seager also homer for the Dodgers. Dustin May has a good outing on this, goes 5 2/3 with 3 hits and 3 earned runs and with 5 strikeouts, which is pretty good for the talented young pitcher. In game 2, Cody Bellinger, Max Muncy, Edwin Rios all hit homers for the Dodgers, and Raymond Laureano homers for the A's while they take this game. In the rubber match, Dodgers come out on top, win the game with help from Corey Seager, and this nabs them the number 1 seed in the NL. We'll talk about that later when we talk about our matchups. And the Miami Marlins take on the Atlanta Braves in a 4-game series. The Braves take the first 3 games of the set in game 2. The Braves homer 5 times in this game. Marcelo Zuna hits 2 homers. Ozzy Albee homers. Dansby Swanson, Mr. Handsome. And so does Freddie Freeman. Also, Starlin Marte homers for the Marlins. The Braves take game 3 as well. Dansby Swanson homers for the Braves. And in the game, the Marlins do homer a bit with Jesus Aguilar and Brian Anderson. Game 4 goes to the Marlins as they avoid the sweep and take the game. And Jesus Aguilar also homers for the Marlins. Good for him. Pablo Lopez of the Marlins puts together a good start with 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 earned runs, and 6 strikeouts. We will talk about him later. The Mariners battle with the Houston Astros in a 3-game set. And in game 1, the Mariners made a statement. Mariners win 6-1, and as Evan White homers, Margo Gonzalez goes 8 innings, 0 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. He outduels Lance McCullers, who goes 6 2/3 with 3 hits, 3 runs, and 0 earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. The game 2, there's a flip of a switch on the Mariners as they lose 6-1, and Michael Brantley and Martin Maldonado homer, as Framber Valdez has a good outing for the Astros. He goes 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned run, and 7 strikeouts. The Mariners take the rubber match, winning the series with help from Nick Marjovicius, who goes 6 innings with 3 hits, 0 earned runs, and 4 strikeouts. The Angels head over to San Diego for a 2-game set. They take game 1. Angels catcher Max Stassi comes off an injury a few weeks before, homers twice. Young Griffin Cannon goes 6 innings pitched, 2 hits, 1 earned run, and 10 strikeouts as the Angels come on top and win this game. They're going to sweep two. As in game two, Eric Hosmer does. Homer for the Padres. But Shohei Ohtani, Justin Upton, and Anthony Benn, boom, goes to dynamite. Homers for the Angels, all in the same inning. Now let's get to our late week matchups. Dodgers do sweep the Angels. Homer fest over there. Brewers face off against Cardinals for a five game series. Cardinals win game one. Kwang Hung Kim goes five innings pitch, five hits, one earned run, and three strikeouts. Then on Friday, they split the doubleheader. And the Cardinals take the second game of that doubleheader pretty convincingly. And in game four, Brandon Woodruff goes and pitches for the Brewers. Eight innings pitched, two hits, zero runs, and 10 strikeouts. Brewers get some help from Ryan Braun and Daniel Vogelbach, who's doing pretty good as they hit back-to-back homers. Cardinals take game five, helps them win the series as the Brewers turn a triple play. Pretty cool. The Giants start off a four-game set against the Padres, winning the first game of the doubleheader, but they do end up losing the series to the Padres. The Marlins head over to New York for a three-game set against the Yankees, and the Marlins take the game as Garrett Cooper homers, Jesus Aguilar walks it off with a walk-off sacrifice fly in the 10th inning. And that's going to help the Marlins clinch. The Marlins do win the rubber match as well, because the Yankees win game two with some homers from Luke Voit and Aaron Hicks. But the Marlins do win game two with some Jazz Chisholm action. Leahy homers, Brian Anderson homers, and the Marlins get it done with some pitching help too. Daniel Castano goes six and one-third innings pitched with two hits, zero runs, and two strikeouts. Phillies take on the Rays, which is a really important series for the Phillies, and they end up losing this series as the Rays sweep them. The Cubs and the White Sox have the Chicago off and go for a series, and the Cubs go to town. On the first game, they win 10-0. Kyle Schwarber, Victor Caratini, homer, and Wilson Contreras homers twice for the Cubs. Yu Darvish dominates this game, seven innings, three hits, zero earned runs, with five strikeouts as they win. Chris Bryant hits a grand slam for the Cubs as well, which is pretty good. Cubs win the series and take the game 10-8. Chris Bryant, David Bode, Billy Hamilton, all homer, and Hamilton stole home as well, which is pretty interesting. So that's good. White Sox do lose this one and lose the series. Cincinnati Reds take on the Twins for a classic three-game set. In game one, the Twins, the Reds go off to an early lead. Freddie Galvis homers, Mike Moustakas two hits. It's two homers in this game to help secure the win. In game two, Twins fight back and win with some help from Luis Alvarez, who goes 4-for-4. Game three goes to the Reds as they win the series. Rich Hill goes 5 2/3 innings pitch, allowing two hits, one earned run, and four strikeouts for the Twins. Sonny Gray goes 5 1/3 innings pitch, allowing two hits, two earned runs, and five strikeouts for the Reds in a little mini duel. And we are going to go to the break, but up next, we're going to talk about the news, including some batting titles, our clinched playoff teams, and a general manager fired. Yes, we will get right to that, but right after the break. Don't forget, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That's radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. We will be right back. Hello, we are back. This is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Now let's get to the storylines and the news, and let's talk about the playoffs and who is in and who just missed out. Number one seed of the National League goes to the Dodgers as they have the best record in baseball. Eight games behind them. At the two seed are the Atlanta Braves, who have that locked up. Rounding out the divisional leaders is the Chicago Cubs, who have the three seed. With the second best record in the National League, we have the San Diego Padres in the four seed. In the fifth seed, we have the St. Louis Cardinals, who are a team that sat out for a total of 17 days due to a COVID-19 outbreak, which resulted in them having to play a lot of doubleheaders. They played 53 games in 44 days. Wow. They are our number two team from the NL Central. Sixth seed belongs to the Marlins, who surprised the league and made it to the playoffs. The Cincinnati Reds have the seventh seed all to themselves, nice and cozy, and they have the first wild card spot. And finding their way into the playoffs are the Milwaukee Brewers, who take the last spot in the NL for the playoffs. And our teams who just missed out from the NL are the San Francisco Giants, who had the same record of the Brewers, but they lost the tiebreaker. And the Phillies also missed out and had a few good weeks kind of later in the season, the midseason, but struggled right at the end, fell out of the race. And also, for those who didn't know, the tiebreakers are decided by team records with teams in the division, and if that if that's a tie, then it goes to who had the best records, and I believe the last 20 games of who was the hotter team. American League, we have our number one seed, and that goes to the Tampa Bay Rays, as they have a record of 40 wins and 20 losses. Pretty good. Number two seed goes to the best in the AL West, the Oakland A's, who win the tiebreaker over the Twins. And the number three seed does go to the Minnesota Twins, who come out on top in a hectic battle for the AL Central. Good for them. Speaking of the Central, the Cleveland Indians are the four seed and our first runner-ups in the Division 2 for the AL. New York Yankees find their way into the fifth seed. Good for them. Sixth seed goes to the Astros, who hold on to their spot and stay in the playoffs. The first wild card spot goes to the Chicago White Sox, who make some noise, surprise a lot of people, but have a less than good week for the last week going into the playoffs. But they did make the playoffs, so good for them. Surprise people. Very good. Eighth seed is earned by Toronto Blue Jays, who will lock it up in the final to get the final spot in the AL playoffs and the baseball playoffs, the MLB playoffs. Yes, our teams have missed out. In this league are going to be the Angels, who got swept by the Dodgers and could have made it in if they had won those last three games, because the Astros lost their last three games and the Angels would have won the tiebreaker. It's a long story, but doesn't matter because the Angels didn't do it. Now, time to celebrate your players. Come on. Let's talk about Yadier Molina, who hits his 2,000th hit on Thursday, September 24th. Good for him. Celebrate him. Yes. Speaking of celebrating, let's talk about our history makers, because we love to celebrate them. Our AL batting title holder for the 2020 season is DJ LeMahieu, with a batting average of .364. Very good. He becomes the first player in the modern era to win the batting title in not only the American League, but also, yeah, you guessed it, the National League. He did that when he was on the Rockies in 2016. A little more history in the making, or history that just got made. Yes, our NL batting title holder is none other than 21-year-old Juan Soto, with a .351 batting average. He's the youngest player in the modern era of baseball to win the batting title. Making history, folks. Pretty good. And some other fun and interesting league leaders: Luke Voit of the Yankees led the league with 22 home runs. Marcell Ozuna has a great year this year with 18 home runs. He led the NL, and I believe he's the first player with the most homers in the National League from the Braves since Andrew Jones in 2005. Ozuna had 56 RBIs, which led the league this year as well, and that is pretty good. And our personal player of the week last week, Jose Abreu, led the league in RBIs with 60 RBIs. Really good. Shane Bieber gets the pitcher's triple crown, which means he led the league in not only strikeouts, but he led it in wins and ERA as well, which hasn't happened in a while. So that's really good. Hunter Pence announced his retirement. Giants fans love him from what I hear. That's great. Now, let's get to the Angels, who fire their general manager, Billy Epler, on Sunday at the end of their season, right after they lose to the Dodgers. The Angels recently extended Epler's contract for one more year in July without telling anyone, apparently, which is kind of normal, I've heard, has happened before, apparently. So it looks like in 2021, the Angels will be paying two general managers and two managers because they fired Brad Ausmus last year. Now, for our last bit of news, we'll cover the injuries. Mike Clevinger left the game on Friday and was reported to have a right posterior elbow impingement. It is possible that he could be out for a week. And that's on the Padres. Another Padres pitcher, it's really going to hurt them as well. Danielson Lamet exits the game on Friday with bicep tightness. This could put a damper on the Padres' rotation, which is not good for them because they have a great rotation. They have a legitimate 1-4, which a lot of teams can't really say. So that's really good for them. But they're injured. Hopefully they get back in time for playoffs. But we are going to have to go into break. But after that, we're going to talk about some of the players, some of the good stuff, our players that made a splash, Pablo's pick. We're going to get into our personal players of the week, our players that made a splash and are going to make a splash in the playoffs, and we'll let you know who those are right after the break. Remember, this is the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. We will be right back. Hello and welcome back to the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we're going to get right into, oh, I think I hear him right now. I think that's Pablo the Pigeon coming to deliver us our personal players of the week with Pablo's pick and some other stuff. Oh, here he is bringing us our news, our players for this week. Thank you, Pablo, I really appreciate that. So let's get into our personal players of the week. The NL, I picked Marcell Ozuna. Yes, he's a Braves acquisition coming into this year to replace Josh Donaldson on the offensive side. And it's worked out. In this last week, Ozuna's batting average is .462. That's amazing, with an OPS of 1.396. Wow, 1.396 is amazing, with an OPS plus of 283. Average is 200, or average is 100, and above average is 150, and he has 283 on his OPS plus. That is amazing. His season average is, his season batting average is 335, an OPS of 1.055, and an OPS plus of 183, which is pretty cool. That's great. He's having a year. Hasn't been like the best player. He had like one good year a few years back, and then he started doing it this year, and I don't know if a lot of people thought he was going to blow up as much as he did. But let's go to the AL, as we talk about Jose Ramirez, our personal player of the week. He plays for the Indians, and you probably heard a lot of him earlier in this show. And in the past week, Jose's batting average has been .348. His OPS, 1.526. 1.526? What? That's amazing. If you think that's crazy, let's go to his OPS plus, which is 307. Yeah, 307. I told you the average is 100. Above average is 150. He doubled what is considered the above average marker. That is amazing. He more than doubled it. That is crazy. That's why he's our personal AL player of the week. Amazing. His season batting average, he did that last week, this past 7 days. And his batting average for the season has been 287 with OPS of 0.977 and an OPS plus of 161. It's pretty good. Our players to look out specifically in the playoffs, these might be some young guys, some older guys, some mixed in there. That we gave you a healthy dose of some good pitchers, some good starters, maybe a reliever here and there. And we got some hitters. It's going to be a wild ride. So much fun. Let's get down to it. Chris Bassett, starting pitcher for the A's. In 63 innings pitched, he has an ERA of 2.29, a whip of 1.159, which is pretty good, and he has 55 strikeouts. Pretty good, but he looks like he could be the A's ace. Been pretty good this year. Let's get to Nate Pearson. A little bit of a story on this one. Usually a starting pitcher for the Blue Jays. One of the Blue Jays' top prospects who came up has an ERA of, you embrace yourselves, isn't that good, of 6.00 in 18 innings pitch, which isn't too good at all. But he comes back from an injury on Friday, comes out of the bullpen, goes 1 2/3 innings pitch, one hit, two strikeouts. That's pretty good. And he throws 101.5 miles per hour fastball. That's amazing. He's going to be a great bullpen piece. If that's what they want to use him for the Blue Jays, he'll be great for that. Just, I mean, he put 1 2/3 innings. That's good for a bullpen guy. You don't want to do that too much. Sometimes that stunts guys' growth, especially the young guys. But he might be able to handle it. And I'm sure the Blue Jays know what they're doing. They're in the playoffs, and they're going to make a splash, hopefully. Now let's go to another pitcher. Starting pitcher, Framber Valdez. For the Astros. And in 7 2/3 innings pitch, he has an ERA of 3.57, a whip of 1.118, and 76 strikeouts. He had a good month of August, but got roughed up a bit in September. And he could be a big impact on the starting Astros rotation in the playoffs. Could be, I mean, if he does good, could be a good bridge. Give them at least a good 1-2. They'll be doing set pretty well in their first series, at least. And now let's get to Randall Grichuk of the Blue Jays, another Blue Jay. He has a season batting average of 276 and OPS of 0.799 and OPS plus of 115. He's been on a roll lately. In his last week heading into the playoffs, he has a batting average of 346 and OPS of 1.095 and OPS plus of 193, which is pretty good. He could be a driving force for that team in the playoffs. Could be. We'll see. Now, let's get into Randy Arozarena. So I love that name. Wow, that's a cool name. An outfielder for the Rays. He has a batting average of 290 and OPS of 1.036 and OPS plus of 82. Pretty good. Plain and simple. Like the last name. Dansby Swanson. I call him Mr. Handsome. I love his facial hair and his regular hair. It's so good. It kind of gives you some Jon Snow type vibes. If you look at it, I like it. Shortstop for the Braves. He's batting average of 278 and OPS of 0.816 and OPS plus of 112. Looks like Jon Snow. Handsome. Ian Happ, an outfielder for the Cubs, has a batting average of 258, an OPS of 0.816, and an OPS plus of 112. And he can be an essential part of that Cubs team. Ian Happ, he's an outfielder. It looks like he can do some good stuff for them. But I've been really looking forward to talking about this guy. I've seen him just go to town in the past week. Edwin Rios, who came in as a third baseman for the Dodgers, he came in for Justin Turner once or twice. I mean, a few times. So, and he's pretty good. But I'll tell you about him. His season batting average, 250, OPS of 0.946, and OPS plus of 149. And in the past week, Edwin has put up some great stats, and he gives some promise to be an impact player for them come playoffs, maybe off the bench for the Dodgers, which would be pretty cool to have. I mean, they have great depth. It's one thing Dodgers have, they have depth. And the past 7 days, Edwin has a batting average of .444, an OPS of 2,000. That's his OPS. That's amazing. OPS plus of 411. Yeah, last week. That's really good. Drew Pomeranz. He has a nickname. They call him Big Smooth, which is pretty cool. He's a reliever for the Padres. And in 18 and two-thirds, two-thirds innings, he pitched and had a ERA of 1.45 and a whip of 1.018 with 29 strikeouts. Pretty good. He had a really good beginning of the year. I think he had like 12 innings with zero ERA in the beginning of the year, which is really good. Something like that. He's pretty good. And let's get to Pablo's pick. Pablo, he just couldn't decide on one guy, so he had to pick two. He couldn't hold his excitement, and so I told him, hey, just pick two, man. Like, I'm gonna love it. So he picks two. Pablo's pick, fellow Pablo, respect to Pablo Lopez, putting a good outing this week, and he has an ERA of 3.61, a whip of 1.186, and 59 strikeouts in 27 and one-thirds innings pitch. Pablo's second pick is Wilson Contreras, who on Friday, he not only hits two homers, but he does it with a little bit of style, some swag. Right after he hits his first home run, he goes for the bat flip, not just a normal bat flip. Tosses this bat up, almost goes higher than the ball that he hit for a home run. The bat goes so high. And he gets actually hit later in the game. He's okay. And the pitcher that hit him got thrown out, I believe, after reviewing it. But Wilson Contreras, calm, cool, collected. He seemed totally calm and cool and collected. And Pablo just can't get enough of that bat flip. He borrows my iPad. All he does is watch the bat flip. That's all he does. If you see it, he's just, it's great. I'd give it a good grade, an A. An A, it's a great bat flip. Now, we're going to have to go into the break, but if you got a team going into the playoffs, or you just like the playoffs, like watching competitive teams, ooh, do we got some stuff for you. We're going to go over what's going on next week, what's going to happen in the playoffs, some matchups, and we're going to give that all to you. But right after the break, sorry, I gotta go to break. But we'll be right back. Remember, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam. Only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Yes, that is 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California, in fact. Yes, we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. This is DJ Grandmaster Slam with my right-hand man, the mic stand. And this is The Cutoff Man, only on Penguin Radio. That's radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Yes, now let's get to those upcoming playoff matchups. The playoffs are here, folks, and we got some good matchups to look forward to in this wild card series. And I'm going to explain to you how it's going down, what's going on, and how it's going to work, because not everybody knows, but I'll explain it to you. The wild card series is the first series in the playoffs, and it's going to be a best of three set. So first team that's two wins is going and it's going to start on Tuesday for the AL teams, for the American League teams, and for the National League teams. That's going to start, those series are going to start on Wednesday. And the divisional series will start next Monday on October 4th. So most likely those games are going to end on Friday. There's going to be a few on Friday from the National League, and some are going to end on Thursday. It might take two games, but after that you have a weekend to watch some other sports. And you can get right back into it then the next week. So, don't want to overload you with too much playoff action, because that could happen. There's so much playoff goodness coming around. We got to spread it out. Spread it out like butter on a nice slice of toast. Now, let's get to the first matchup. Now, we got the 6-seed Houston Astros, who are heading over to Minnesota to face off against the 3-seed Twins. On the mound for the Astros is going to be Zach Greinke, the starter. for the Twins is going to be Kenta Maeda, who, after being traded from the Dodgers on the offseason, has really come into his own and became the ace for the Twins. That is amazing. He is starting for the Twins. I'm looking forward to that. On Tuesday, the Twins have Jose Berrios scheduled to start for them, and Astros starter is labeled as to be determined at the moment. If a third game is needed, Michael Pineda will be scheduled to pitch for the Astros. For the Twins, I mean, that's going to be good for them. And the Astros starter is also labeled as to be determined. Now, next up, we got the seventh seed, the Chicago White Sox, a little mix of some veteran magic with some rookie magic. Some young guys, some young studs, doing pretty good. And they're going to head over to the Oakland Coliseum. Oh, Oakland. Oh, my. That's pretty cool. And they're going to go and face the second seed A's. Yep, in the Bay Area. That's pretty cool. Oh, my, the Bay Area. That's cool. And Lucas Giolito is scheduled to pitch for the White Sox. And the A's starter is labeled yet to be, to be determined at the moment. It could be Chris Bassitt. I don't know. It's my guess. Maybe. If it is, yay. But if not, I'll get him next time. In game two, Dallas Keuchel, it will be starting, will be a starting pitcher for the White Sox. And the A's starter is also labeled as to be determined for now. And if there's third game is needed, both sides of their pitchers labeled as to be determined at the moment. But that's nothing to worry about right now. Oh, this just in, I just found out Jesus Luzardo, it's updated, is going to start for the A's in the first game. Yep, that's pretty good. And Bassett's going to take game two for them. And that's going to be very good for them. That's pretty cool. And next, we got that breaking news. Haven't had that happen before, which is amazing. Love that we can get the news out to you guys. Our next matchup is going to be the 8th seed, Toronto Blue Jays, who actually play in Buffalo. It doesn't matter anymore because they're not going to play there for the playoffs. But they will head over to Tropicana Field to battle against the 1st seed, Tampa Bay Rays. Blake Snell is going to be the starter for the Rays, which is going to be really good for them. I like that starter for the Rays. And the starter for the Blue Jays is going to be Matt Shoemaker. He's a former Angel. That's pretty cool. He had some good seasons way back. I actually love his beard. They, in the minor leagues, they used to have giveaways they give out Matt Shoemaker beards. It's pretty cool. People would be wearing his beards during the minor leagues, I think. So that's pretty funny. Matt Shoemaker came off an injury, doing pretty good against Snell. Then it's going to be Ryu for the Blue Jays versus Tyler Glasnow of the Rays. That's Hyunjin Ryu. Ryu's been doing really good this year. And if they have a game, then if they have a third game, Blue Jays have Taiwan Walker going toe-to-toe against Charlie Morton. And now let's get to the next matchup, which is the 5th seed New York Yankees will travel to Cleveland to face the 4th seed Indians, which is going to be a pretty great matchup. And that's going to be, I mean, that's a good one to watch. I'm really excited for that. That's the 5th seed Yankees versus the 4th seed Cleveland Indians, which is pretty cool. I like that. And this is going to be, this matchup gets me so excited. I'm practically drooling over here over this matchup. And it's going to be Gerrit Cole for the Yankees against Cy Young favorite, Shane Bieber. I'm drooling. I'm so excited, chomping at the bits. I'm going to watch this. I'm so happy. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. Game two, Carlos Carrasco against Masahiro Tanaka, which is a really good matchup. I love that. And for the third game, if that is needed, they have them labeled as to be determined for the Yankees. And the Indians have Zach Plesac, which is a good piece to have as their third starter. Pretty cool. Good for them. I like it. And that's going to be it for our American League matchups. Now let's get to the National League matchups, which are going to start on Wednesday. Yep, not leaving them out. Going to get right into that. First game is going to be the 7th seed Cincinnati Reds, who will travel to Atlanta to take on the 2nd seed Braves. And in game one, Trevor Bauer is going to, he's going to, he's going to square off against Max Fried of the Braves, which is a matchup I've pictured in dreams up until now, because soon it will become a reality and it won't just be a dream. It won't just be a dream, and I'm so excited. And after that, we got Luis Castillo listed for the Reds, and the Braves have theirs listed as to be determined as of this moment. Third game, Reds are going to be pitching Sonny Gray, which is good. Love that 1-2-3. They could dethrone the Braves. Beat them. So that might be pretty interesting. But if we need that game three. Now, next we have the 6-seed Miami Marlins. Yes, love this team, who traveled to Wrigley Field to battle the Chicago Cubs at the moment. Some of these matchups are labeled as to be determined. Yes, all these matchups are labeled as to be determined at the moment. But let's go to none other than our 5th seed St. Louis Cardinals, who have been around for such a long time, so competitive. I appreciate how competitive of a team they are. I'm jealous because not the teams I like to cheer for aren't as competitive. And I just get a little jealous of how amazing the Cardinals are. So the Cardinals, 5th seed, do take on the San Diego Padres at Petco Park, which is pretty good for them. And looks like all those matchups are to be determined at the moment as well. And for our last seed, our last matchup to look at, we have the 8th seed Milwaukee Brewers, who travel to Los Angeles to take on the 1st seed, the Dodgers. Yes, the Trolley Dodgers. I think that was their original name. They are going to toe off against the Brewers. The Dodgers have Walker Buehler as the starter for their first game. Then they're going to hand it off to Clayton Kershaw. Kersh going at it for the second game. And for their third game, looks like they are all listed as to be determined at the moment. That's really cool. We got a great slate of baseball coming at you this week. Playoff baseball. Get excited. Get happy. I'm so happy for this. 16 teams. Wasn't like a huge fan of it at one point, but I'm into it right now because there are a lot of teams that would get left out that are very competitive. I'm happy some of those teams are in it now. And I'm so excited to watch this happen. Maybe there'll be some upsets. I always root for that. That's always fun to watch. But I guarantee there'll be competitive matchups coming at you. We just went over them. So if you don't believe me, watch the games. These should all be on TV. And there'll be a lot of fun watches. But that's all we got for you this week. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you had a great time. I had a great time. And I hope you did too. So have a great week. I will talk to you next week about what happened this upcoming week, what's going to happen the next week, maybe some storylines, some drama if it happens, and maybe some of the players, some guys that light the spark to ignite the fire that charges the team to win and advance further. We'll talk about those players. We'll talk about our personal players. We'll get right down to it next week. But that is it for me today. Remember, this is the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Thank you for joining us. I will talk to you next time.